We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
I want to start a new series today called Back to Basics. We are going to touch on things that we supposedly know, but if you already know what I'm going to talk about, could you take it as a reminder? There are things that, as a Christian, you got to go back to over and over so that your faith could be deep, your faith could be strong, and you may grow. So we need to be reminded about these things. Most of us have been in an aeroplane before, maybe more than once. And after a while of being in the aeroplane, you will get familiar with something coming up from the sound system, or sometimes it's an air hostess standing, or a flight attendant standing in front of us and saying, please make sure your seatbelt is securely fastened. And then she will then say, I'll now go on to demonstrate how to fasten your seatbelt. And she will go through this motion of showing us how do we fasten the seatbelt. Now, if you have flown for a number of times, you probably think it's a waste of time. I already know this because you know it backwards and forwards. You know exactly what she's going to say. The mask, first take care of yourself before you take care of the person sitting next to you. You hear it over and over, and you will notice, most importantly, you will notice there should be a picture right now if someone is on my message, what I'm talking about. You will then notice that what they do is they don't apologize for repeating this message. They are not sorry about it. They are not sympathetic to you. They just say it as it is. You might have heard it 60 times. Even if in first class, you will hear this message and they are not apologizing for it. I'm not going to apologize for reminding you scripture. Sometimes God comes like that, where he repeats something over and over and over, and thinking, Lord, I've had enough of this. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is, are you applying it in your life? Okay? Are you applying it in your life? So this is what we're going to do today. We, with all respect, some of you know this, but we always have people getting saved. In this kind of a church, people are always coming to Christ. And so once in a while, we want to remind ourselves what is most important to us. Back to the basics. What is the basics of faith? You might find this very essential for your fundamental faith matters so that you are able to share with somebody else. These are what I call regular spiritual disciplines that form the foundation of every believer. They are ongoing and we ought to be doing it. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. If you miscalculate on these, your Christianity will be shallow. Your Christianity will be found wanting. So today, the first thing we want to talk about today is meeting with God, priority number one. Meeting with God, priority number one. And if you want a second line to that is, how do we have an encounter with God? Because meeting with God is about having an encounter with God. It's not because the pastor said, go and have a Bible devotion of your own. No. The reason we meet up with God, the reason we actually spend time with God is so that we meet with him. And that is a priority number one for a believer. So I'm going to read a few scriptures from Exodus chapter 19 and Exodus chapter 24. So Exodus 19 from verse 9. Exodus 19 from verse 9. The Bible reads, the Lord said to Moses, this is God meeting Moses. They are just at the bottom of Mount Sinai. Moses is about to climb up Mount Sinai and meet up with God. And so he's preparing him through this. He speaks to him, he says to him, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. Verse 10, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And then chapter 24, verse 9, I think to about verse 12, the Bible says, Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of lapis lazuli, as bright blue as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God and they ate and drank. Verse 12, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay there, and I'll give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I've written for their instruction. So, this is God meeting with a man, flesh and blood, like you and me. It was an encounter with God. And we want to kind of pick a few lessons from that. How do we have an encounter with God? We have to have an encounter with God. If we are children of God, there must be a place where we meet up with God and our lives are touched by God. A shallow view of God leads to a shallow life. When we think very shallow of God, chances are our lives will be shallow, because God wants us to know him. God wants us to be close to him. If we cheapen God, we cheapen life itself. If we treat God superficially, we become superficial too. And today, our time with God might as well, in most cases, in our 21st century, our time with God is like a flip of a coin. If it's heads, I spend more time. If it's tails, I spend maybe more time. I don't know. But that's not the way to spend time with God. The issue is, who is our God? Because the God that Isaiah saw in Isaiah 6 is an exalted one, a holy one, a one who's lifted up on high. He's an majestic God. He's a God of grace. And this is the God we want to meet with. And this is what I want to talk about, an encounter with God. Why is an encounter with God very important? An encounter with God is important because it's when we encounter God that he reveals himself. Without God revealing himself, it feels like Christianity is a routine. It feels like you're just bumping on from 1 week to the next. Sunday comes in, say, like, I've been to church, tick. Then I go, Monday you're living like anything else, but come Sunday, everything else, almost like, it's like a drug. And that's not the way God wants us to be. God wants us to have an encounter with him on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, by the marketplace where you work. God wants you to have an encounter with him right there. Anywhere. Encounters are not always in the church like this, in a church building like this. But also, when we have an encounter with God, he reveals himself through the written word of God. You can be having your time in the Word of God, and then, boom, a scripture shoots up for you and grips your heart. You feel like, whoa, I didn't see this. I've been reading this for years, but something has just jumped out of scripture. It's because God is revealing himself through the Word of God. He does that when we get in touch with his Word. So, how can we have an encounter with God? There are four ways, very simple ways that you can have an encounter with God in a very basic way. You can have angelic visitations. That's fair and fine. Angels are where God is worshipped. Sometimes you don't see them with your eyes, but they're here. You don't need to see them to say, yes, today I was touched by God. No. Scripture tells us that they're there. Do you know that when we worship God, worship is not something that is done by humans only. Worship is something that is done by angels too. So when we worship God, we actually serve on the same altar with angels. So our worship, well, talk about that next week. Our worship takes us to that altar where the angels also worship. And we can create that atmosphere by creating a place where God feels free to come and touch and worship and receive our worship and praise. That's why it's a serious thing to worship God. Okay, number one, how do we meet with God? How do we have an encounter with God? Number one is, we got to meet with God regularly in a place. We need a place where we can meet with God regularly. Now, on a basic, very basic level, you need to find a church that you call your home. basic level. This is basic theology. Basic theology says, find a place where you meet with other believers. If you're here today visiting us, may the Lord bless you. Thank you for being with us today. We appreciate you. We don't mind you being a part of us. This is a good place. Okay? This is a good place. You need to find a place. First things first. Do you belong to a body of worshipers, a body of people that believe in God? And are you availing yourself to that place? Okay? That's level one. But there's a more important level. The more important level is on your own, find a place where you can meet with God. In the book of Exodus, the children of Israel met with God in a particular place called Mount Sinai. He says to them, I will meet you at Mount Sinai. This is where I want to meet with. It was a physical place where they could meet with God. What about you? Where do you meet with God? Please don't say it in number 131 Guildford Avenue. Because we only meet here once a week, most of us. On a private note, where do you meet with God? I'm praying that this is not the only place where you get to open the Bible. Say example, example. Come on, tell your neighbor, example, example. It's quiet in here. You need to help me preach today. Please help me. In South Korea, it's very interesting that the largest churches in the world are actually found in South Korea. And the reason is very simple. They wake up to pray on the mountains every single day. In some churches, they take bus loads of people from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. Every hour on the hour, there's a bus going up the mountains to drop people and take some back to town. This is the lifestyle in South Korea. Not on a Sunday, Monday, the thing happens non-stop like that. Monday to even Sunday morning, there are people that go to pray first before they come to church. They meet God on the mountains. Without fail. Now, no pressure here. Do you know one of the reasons why they do that? They are not the only ones who do that. The Buddhists wake up at 4 a.m. too. They have their mountains too where they pray. 4 a.m. every day to a God that cannot be compared to the Jehovah that you and I worship. But they keep the clock going. I know of some places where a bell rings and people wake up at 5 a.m. to pray. In this country. They are praying at 4 a.m. And I'm thinking, why am I sleeping when someone is praying to his God? What if he's praying? Usually, don't get me wrong here. Usually, some of these prayers, I say, curse those people that don't believe in my God. We don't do that as Christians. But other faiths do. And I'm sleeping. Someone is saying, curse that guy. And I'm sleeping. Come on. Say example, example. It's getting lower and lower. Say, you see, find a place where you can pray. Even if it's a box room, please find a place. There were times when you travel sometimes, you don't know where to pray. I pray even in the toilet. That becomes my prayer room. I just want space with God. So I will wake up and find a place where I'm alone. Even if it's under some staircases, just put a desk there and a lamp. That's your prayer room. That's where you meet with God. That's your Mount Sinai. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a fancy place. Some people like walks in the morning. Take a walk. That's your place of prayer. Walk your dog while praying. That's your place of prayer. Find a place. Find a place. Don't leave this church today without finding out where are you going to pray tomorrow morning. If you are married, bedroom is probably not your prayer place, right? Because there's someone in there. No brainer, right? Go downstairs. You can turn anything to an altar. Anything can be a room where you can be alone with God. A garage, For those of you that have got nice garages, park your car outside. You get in there and pray. If it's really tight, get in the car and pray in the car. That's your prayer closet. Every morning, get into the car. If you come from a busy household where every room is taken, I grew up in that kind of a place. There was no space for yourself. We're a big family. The only place I was alone was in the bathroom. That's when I think, no one can disturb me here. So turn it into a prayer room. Some of you have rooms everywhere. You turn around like this, it's free. Put a gym in your house. Turn it into a prayer room. Throw away those gym things. Turn it into a prayer room. We got to be a people that pray. If you have got a, is it called a cellar? We call it the basement. But anyway, a cellar, go pray down there. No one will disturb you down there. Shout all you like. No one will catch the sound. You'll be fine. Someone say example. Don't be a prayerless Christian. You got to meet with God. Sunday is not enough. I'm sure by now you know that. So Moses found a place where he could meet up with God. Provide yourself with this place. You need a place in your house, in your apartment. Whatever, whenever, whatever place you find is the key. The key is you need time with God. If you're a busy person who works in the marketplace, maybe your work is pressing, you've got to leave home early. Let me give you an idea. Leave home much earlier. Get into the office when nobody's there. Turn that desk into your prayer room. Nobody will find out. The cleaner just talked to them, said, "I come early to do some stuff here." What stuff? Just praying, you know. Yeah, then they'll let you go. They won't bother you anymore. Get up in the morning, go and pray. Get up. If home is too tight, go pray in your office. Right there in the office, close the door if you have an office. If you have an open plan office, get there early. There should be a box room somewhere where they store some stationery. Go pray there. Someone say, "Pastor, I understand you." I'm tough on this because we are tired of shallow Christians. And for those of you that are new believers, there is no compromise here. You've got to find time with God. You have to find time with God. That's what we do as believers. We find time with God. Number two, now that you have found a place to pray, suppose you have found a nice room where you can pray. If it's cold, buy a heater and put it in there. You'll be fine. You need to be prepared to meet with God. Be prepared to meet with God. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Have you noticed that those guys that are fanatic, football fanatics, okay, when they go watch their favorite team play, do they just walk to whatever the stadium? They just wake up and say, "I'm going to watch Sheffield United today." And then they find themselves in the stadium. No, if you're serious, I'm talking about serious football supporters here, not just, you know them. Real supporters, first thing they do, they get a season ticket. You with me? Like right now, they are looking for the next season because this one is finished. They are serious about this thing called football. So they want a season ticket. And then when they get a season ticket, if you're a serious football fanatic, you guys need to help me here. Have you noticed that you know that a guy is serious with his sports, whatever, by the kind of thing he wears to go watch his football team? If it's me, I'll wear a 2004 Sheffield United shirt. Okay, I'm fine with that. 2004, I'm okay with it. I'm not bothered. Wow, I don't even know whether we... 2004, were we in league? Were we in championship or premier? Because we Sheffield United just get in and we're out. In and out. So this season we're getting it. This coming season. But we will still be wearing... So you spend money on the kit that's coming for the season. Because you mean business with this thing. Yeah. You are preparing. Because the kit will start being sold, I think, around May, June. It hasn't been revealed yet. So they wait, these kit supporters. They wait until the kit is revealed. And then they get both home and away kit. Because they mean business. Yeah. Come winter, they are ready. There's a scarf, there's a hat, there are gloves, there's a jacket. They know what they're doing. Freezing temperatures, they're out there. I saw some guys on Sky News clip. They were right there in Manchester United. I'm like, these guys are prepared. How is it then that when we're going to meet God, the phone is on. We even have got AirPods. What do you call them? EarPods. AirPods. Thank you. And what's blasting there is R&B. Well, young people are not here today. Or some funny stuff from wherever you come from. Playing in your ears. Going to meet with God, the Holy One of Israel. And we are giving an impression that we are not prepared. Let me read something for you. How did people go meet with God in the Bible? As Exodus 19, verse 10. Listen to how people prepare to meet with God. Exodus 19, 10 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, first thing, consecrate them, how many times? Twice, today and tomorrow. Consecrate them twice. And then after that, they need to have a wash. Wash their garments. Or rather, tell them to wash their garments. Next. Why are they doing all this? So that they are ready to meet with God. Because on the third day, God is coming down. You know, it takes a lot to prepare for God. If we are going to meet God, we must be prepared. You don't just go to meet God with an idle mind. You've got to make sure that your heart is prepared, your mind is ready to meet with God. It's so critical that we prepare ourselves. Just 30 minutes each day with the Lord will change your life. 30 minutes. Just logging in with God, connecting with God every single day, not once a month. Every single day, seek some time to connect with God, minimum 30 minutes. Usually with time, it will increase. It's just like when you are in love with somebody, you normally meet 20 minutes, and then that 20 minutes becomes 40 minutes. That 40 minutes becomes 2 hours. 2 hours becomes 6 hours. And you don't realize that you spend too much time with that person. Why? Because you want to be with them. So with God it's the same. You can't keep looking at the clock saying, oh, it's 25 minutes now. I've got 5 minutes to go. What kind of a relationship is that? You want to spend time with God because you love Jesus Christ, right? So you spend time. So what normally happens is that you realize it's time for me to shower. Adjust your time of waking up so that you spend more time with God. In fact, as you grow in your relationship with God, you realize that even if God wakes you up at 4 a.m. to pray, you will be still alert at work as though you woke up at a normal time. It's called the anointing. It will refresh you. You with me? God does that. God just gives you strength if you give him your time. But prepare for it. Prepare. Don't go to God tired. I know we've got different ways of doing devotion. Some people like devotions in the evening. Some people like devotions maybe at 12 midnight because that's when you're finished studying if you're a student. You're finished studying, say, let me just catch up a bit before I sleep. So it's as if you're using the Bible as a sleeping pill. You are not prepared. The Bible is not a sleeping pill. The Bible, you've got to be engaged. You've got to be awake. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You've got to tune your mind. You've got to remain attached to God. Some start with praying. You know, there are different ways of preparing your heart. I prepare my heart by praying before I get into reading the Bible itself. So what I do is I want to focus my mind. So I spend a lot of time praying just to get myself thinking godly thoughts, just to get myself engaged with God. It's easier for me that way. And when I'm praying, I don't sit back and relax. I want to be walking up and down. You know, some people get a cup of coffee to really make sure they are awake, fully awake. Some people it's tea, some people it's whatever it is, but get yourself awake. Get out of bed. Some people just sit, it's okay. Some people kneel, that's fine. But make sure your posture is allowing you to connect with God. It's very important that you do this. It's very important. You are meeting with God. Imagine you're going to meet the queen. Do you just go see the queen in your trainers? Even if they're expensive? There's a certain way. There's a protocol of preparing. So part of the protocol of preparing to meet with God is prayer. You pray. Some people sing, for example. You start singing to God. If you're one of those that really like worship, you can actually set an atmosphere for yourself by worshiping God. If you can't sing, just get something you can play, an iPad, play background music. You are preparing. The meeting has not started yet. You haven't started it. You're just preparing. Sometimes preparation can be 30 minutes of prayer, just waiting on the Lord. You're not in a rush. Take your time. Take your time. If it's someone important you are meeting, even if he's late, you will wait. But God is never late. In fact, God is waiting for us. Like tomorrow morning, God will be waiting for you. It's an appointment. Are you aware of that? It's an appointment with God. You've got to do something. Don't be idle and assume that it will just happen. Remember, you're setting yourself for an encounter with God. Encounters with God don't just happen. God doesn't just show up just because. No, no. There's things we do to invite the presence of God. We were in the youth camp last night, and you could tell that the youth leaders prayed for the conference. They prepared for the conference. They didn't just, hey, we're going away to Clover Hall. Let's have fun. No, they prepared for it. And so God showed up. Number three, what do you do? So first we said, you need a place where you meet with God regularly. And then secondly, you need to be prepared. It's an important meeting you're having with God. But thirdly, very important, is if you're going to hear from God, you need the scriptures. Exodus 31, verse 18 reads, when the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. So Moses has finished his time with God, and then God gives him what is called the Torah, or rather the tablets that were written by the finger of God, which is something written down for him to reference to and teach the children of Israel. That's in the Old Testament version of it, of saying to you that God wants you to use scriptures to get to him. When you meet with God, open the book. You cannot meet with God and ignore his word. Even if angels are meeting with you, don't throw away the Bible. Some angels are fallen. You won't tell if you throw away this book. They will teach you demonic stuff that will shock you and take you away from the path. It is the word that keeps you in the Lord. Be very, very careful what you're listening to. You need the scripture. We measure everything according to scripture. This is we don't measure things because Pastor Anderson said this. No. You go home and search the scriptures and see, is what they are preaching in alignment with scripture? It's very important that you get to know the word of God yourself. So, have you ever heard about the open window method of reading the Bible? This is a method where you go to bed. Now it's probably not the same because most of you don't use hard copies. But in the past, people used to read these hard copies, and we still read them today. I do. And so they'll leave the Bible by the window with a window a little bit open, and then when the wind blows like that, then they'll say, Thus says the Lord. The Lord wants me to read about this today. This is my word for the day. Well, one day you find the scripture that says, Judas, what you're about to do, do quickly. I don't recommend that method. Okay? I don't recommend that method. You need to develop a system of reading the Bible. How do you eat an elephant? You got to chop it piece by piece, right? And then store it in the freezer. And then take piece by piece, cook and eat. Before you know it, you'd have finished an elephant. You need a system of eating the elephant. When you're approaching scripture, 66 books in the scriptures, you need a system of feeding in the scriptures. And the system is such that you are consistent in. Now, Pentecostals are not good at this. Okay? Because Pentecostals, we are on fire for God. So we just run into scripture. But we really are not disciplined in the scriptures. So we tend not to last, you know, as a movement, as a people. Our churches don't last too long because they are based on fire. And I like fire. I love a lot of it. I want to see people burn for Christ. No question about that. But I also want them to be rooted in scripture. Rooted in scripture. Get to know the Bible. But you need a system. You need a method. A system that you personalize. You personalize yourself where you're saying, every single day I am in the scriptures. Whether I'm visiting an uncle, whether my house is full of guests, I will have time with God. There's a way of reading the scripture. If you don't have a system, guess what you'll be reading for the next 5 years? You'll be reading John 3:16. Pastor had devotion. Yay, what did you read? John 3:16. How many years? On John 3:16. What about John 3, verse 17? Do you know John 3, verse 17? How about 1 John 3, verse 16? Which is harder than John 3, 16? Because John 3, 16, we know, is Christ who laid his life. But 1 John 3, 16 says, you lay your life. But you won't know that because you are a John 3, 16 guy. Say example. Are you sure you want to stay in John 3:16? Is that what you want to build your life on? Advance. Get to know some Psalms. Get to know the book of Exodus. Get to know Zephaniah. I remember a guy says, is Zephaniah an instrument? I said, no, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. So get to read the Bible. You know, I'm reminded. Many years ago, I met a guy who said to me, I'm a Barnsley man. I've never been outside Barnsley. I said, oh, no, shame. There's London. There's Sheffield. There's Manchester. There's Birmingham. There's Edinburgh. And you have not been there? No, I'm a Barnsley man. Wow. What's up about Barnsley? It's the same thing. I'm a Gospel of John man. Oh, yeah. How about Mark? How about Matthew? How about Luke? How about Exodus? When will you read those? Just tell your neighbor, he's not talking about me. Luke 4, verse 16, the Bible says, this is talking about Jesus Christ, says, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Then he reads. This is Jesus Christ as he visited. See, it was Jesus' custom to go to the synagogue. It was his custom to read the scriptures. You will notice that he knew where to read. When I started discipleship, man, it was frustrating. I didn't know where to find books. So the guy is disciples say, okay, go to Philippians 3, 6. I'm like, my goodness, where is Philippians? Man, I'll be flicking. Is it in the new? Is it in the old? But because we're two of us, it was easy. Imagine if I said, hey, wise men, Zephaniah 2, verse 3. Come and read from the front here. I mean, the guy takes 10 minutes of my time trying to find it. We're not doing that. But in a discipleship meeting, I discipled him. So I say, okay, can you find the scripture? Can you find the scripture? And I've got the time. Obviously, the wisest thing is just go to table of contents. You find it. I'm trying to say to you that you need to know where to find scriptures. And the only way to know that is because you are reading the scriptures. You are in the word. If you're a parent, read scriptures with your children. It looks like you're wasting your time, but read the scriptures. Make it a habit in the family that you read scriptures. I know, initially, if you've got kids, that's when they go wild just before you read scriptures. They become uncontrollable. You know what? Read the scriptures. Even while they're making the noise, read the scriptures. I'm not saying read Psalm 119. You lose all of them. That's 176 verses. Read something. Go through scriptures. My household, there was a time when we were going through Proverbs, chapter by chapter. We took our time. Then we went through the Ten Commandments, one by one. So we did one commandment at a time. Then we did the Lord's Prayer. Teaching. Over dinner. You see, that's the quickest way. You have dinner first, then do Bible study. Don't do it before. Don't do it before. If you do it before, it'll be real quick. Find time. Some families, it's before they go to bed. Find time. Teach the children scriptures. For you with little babies, get a Bible, a baby Bible thing. Read it. Oh, Pastor, they don't understand. Just read it. How come you're talking to the baby when she was in the tummy? Now that is out. How are you not talking to him? Young mothers and dads, read scriptures to your children. Teach them. Read scriptures. It's important. Grandmas and granddads, read scriptures to your grandchildren. Amen. Amen. I say this back to basics, right? We need to get back to this. We need to get this. Our homes must be centers of scripture. It should be queer to quote a scripture in your house. There are many queer things already. Okay, so if we want to live differently like Jesus, make reading the Bible a part of your routine. Infuse it into your system. Infuse it into your life. Have it in your phone, on your app, on your computer. Have it everywhere. Have the Word of God saturating your environment. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. See, the Bible will prevent you from sinning, but sin will prevent you from the Bible. D.L. Moody said that. He said, if you hang on the Bible, you'll stay away from sin. But you got to treasure it. You got to put it in your heart. Then that way you will be reminded of Scripture and it will keep you going. You remember Jesus Christ? When he was tempted. In fact, before he was tempted, at 12 years old, Jesus was found in the house of the Lord asking questions, asking the rabbi some difficult questions, because Jesus loved Scripture. And Jesus was open to learning. But when he was 30 years old, the devil was tempting him, and his only defense, the Son of God himself, his only defense was to quote Scripture. Say, it's written. Man shall not live on bread alone. It's written, you shall worship the Lord your God alone. It's written. He kept going. Three times he says, it's written. That was his only defense. And then the devil left him for another opportune time. How then is it that in the 21st century, we think we can overcome the devil by any other means? I saw a picture the other time of someone who was putting on a military uniform saying, I'm going to fight the devil. A preacher. Ignorance. With all your military gear, there's nothing. Even a Navy SEAL cannot kill the devil. But a believer who knows John 3:16 and maybe verse 17 can overcome the devil. We need scripture, church. We want to be a church of the word. A church that understands that we cannot live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's what we want to be. Okay, the last one, then we will pray. The last point I want to bring to you is to remember what God says, you need something called a journal. A journal. A journal, if you have a background in accounting, we call it a ledger. In accounting language, in order for you to understand your business, in other words, what's coming into your business and what's going out, you have this book called a ledger where you literally record everything that's happening to your money or to the money of the business. So if you buy something, you record it in what is called a ledger. A ledger tells us the story of your business, what has happened in your business. These days, you use computer systems. But before, it was a journal. You record everything. So if you're at a shop, you simply tell your employee, record everything happening. If you sell 10 loaves of bread, I want it recorded. A journal operates in almost a similar fashion. A journal is not a diary of what you did during the day, a reflection of how the day went. That's not a spiritual journal. A spiritual journal is your journey with God. What is it that God is saying to you? What is it that God has done in your life? How is God working in you and through you? That is a journal. It's a spiritual. Sometimes you can go for days without writing anything on it. Sometimes you write every day, sometimes more than once a day. But it's not a record of your reflections. It's a personal journal where you write down what is God doing in your life. Now, if you don't have that, and then God visits you 3 years from today, and what he's visiting you on is based on what he showed you 3 years ago, you will miss a revelation from God. It's your job to remember that. Now, most of the time we think we will remember, but there's a lot that happens in life. It's easy to forget. So what I do is I record what I'm learning from the Lord. I still record. I've been doing it for 20 years. I record what I'm learning, and I keep these journals. I visit them, and I check, this is what God was teaching me on this. Some of the things you are hearing today are from my journal. What the Lord taught me years and years ago, but he reminds me. Most of what we preach is from our time with God. That's where we draw from. It's the same with when you're teaching someone, maybe you're discipling someone. These things that come from your spiritual reservoir, where you have been storing things with God, it's a memory bank. Wonderful things that you've learned from the Lord. Painful times that you've gone through. But you say, what did I learn from this experience? You record it down. Because you will miss out. You see, you will miss out. You think the devil is after me, but God turns out that which was meant for bad for good, like Joseph. So in the scriptures, for example, you will notice their journal is, if you need to take note of the names they give to their children. Because the names they give to their children are a journal, spiritual journal. So when Joseph had two children, the first one he called Manasseh. He's talking about, I've forgotten my past. I've had a past. But you know what? I'm over that now. And then his second son, he called him Ephraim. Ephraim meaning, I'm now fruitful in the land, in the foreign land that I've been sold to. How was he fruitful? The Lord had showed up. The Lord had begun to unveil his destiny, and he was now the prime minister of Egypt. And so he names his son as a reflection of his journey with God. What about you? How are you recording what God is doing in your life? It helps to maintain a record. Exodus 17, verse 14. Listen to what the Lord said to Moses. Exodus 17, verse 14. The Bible says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.'" This is God saying to Moses, write stuff down. Write things down. It's not, you're not being less spiritual by writing things down. That's why some people, when they come to church, they kind of write their notes to kind of remind them, what did we learn this year? You're just trying to teach yourself to record, to have a memory bank. Well, these days, of course, you can go to the YouTube channel and click and so on. But some things you want to personalize and let God speak to you in that way. Amen. This is how you set yourself for an encounter with God. When you do such things, you will see that you will have encounters with God. God, you are opening a way for God to have access to you. If you want business in the real world, let's say you live in a remote village and you want business to happen, you don't necessarily need to open businesses. Try to get the city council or whoever to put a highway next to your city. Highway will bring business your way. So what you are doing here, you are building a spiritual highway so that God can have an encounter with you. You are making it easy for God to come to where you are. Without these systems in your life, it's going to be difficult for you to have an encounter with God. Even to understand that God has shown up, you find it difficult. So build these systems, build highways, spiritual highways, build ways that God can visit you. Be consistent in it. Don't meet God once a week. It doesn't work that way. God is a person. He wants a relationship with you. Imagine having a boyfriend who calls you once in 3 months. What kind of a boyfriend is that? Do you understand? God wants to meet with you regularly. It's a constant thing. It's a relationship thing. And this is where we want to be. This is where we want to be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray, then we will close. So if you need to know more about this, please do see us. We help you. It's important that you get your life on track and be consistent. You will not grow as a Christian if you are not consistent in your meeting with God. For 10 years, you will remain a Christian. And you wonder, why am I not growing? Well, it's very simple. You don't have a system for growing. Imagine if you have a baby, and that baby, all that baby eats is junk food. How will that baby grow? So we're trying to help you with coming up with a balanced diet for your spiritual life. So that's what this series is about, back to basics. Trying to help you kind of be balanced, help you to grow and be a man or woman of God. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word that brings life, your word that strengthens our faith, for faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we ask that our faith may increase. We ask that our lives may be changed as we come up with a system of having an encounter, a way, Lord, where you are free to touch our lives. You are free to minister to us. Where, Lord, we are in that place where we are ready to receive from you. Would you help us, mighty God, be in that place? We ask for those here that whose spiritual life is a challenge at the moment. I ask, Lord, that you may help them, that you may touch them afresh, that they may find you in that place of meeting with you. May encounter be so common in this church that, Lord God, we will find encouragement from one another, knowing that we are growing in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.